Morning, everybody. How's everybody doing? Welcome to my podcast, In Pursuit of Purpose, where we hold space for transforming trauma, igniting your purpose, and rewriting your story one episode at a time. So today is part four of my 26-part series that I've been talking about for the last month or so. And the whole series title is Unraveling the Past from A to Z, Exploring the Layers of Trauma and Uncovering a Path Towards Healing. This series delves into the enduring impacts of childhood trauma, unraveling the persistent memories that linger and shape our adult selves. And we navigate the intricate web of generational trauma, exploring its influence on our thoughts, emotions, and identity. In this podcast, for especially this series, we confront our ghosts, shedding layers of false identities we've accepted as truth and rewriting our narratives as we embark on a journey of healing and self-discovery. Now, each of these weeks and these episodes and these chapters rewritten is a step towards healing of those deep-seated wounds that bind us. Today, I'm going to delve into the layers of the letter D in my life, and I do this through the lens of the poem I wrote from A to Z. So today, like I said, we're talking about the layers of the letter D. So the first one would be, I am dancing. And that is how I reconnect with my childhood self. The second would be, I am divorce. And that would be unraveling the effects of the trauma through both a divorce from my childhood and also my divorce. And then the third is, I am discovery, in which we embrace transformation and purpose. So determination also becomes an ally in breaking free from those chains of trauma and a path towards liberation from the past. So let's dive in to this transformative power of determination, discovering, and dreaming as we embark on this journey together. So the first thing I'm going to do is take you back to my childhood, and I have labeled this section, Dance Like No One's Watching, Embracing My Inner Child. And when I was little, I unleashed my inner child through dance. So I want you guys to do something for me. I want you to close your eyes for a minute and think back to your own childhood. Can you picture a time in your mind when you moved or played or danced effortlessly and with pure abandon, losing yourself in the rhythm of your own heartbeat, losing track of time without a care in the world? I know a lot of us played outside till the streetlights came on and we didn't really have to worry about the things that we have to worry about now. I remember playing outside until it was late into the night and we didn't really care what time it was. We totally lost track of time just playing make-believe and playing with our friends. So when I talk about specifically dance and not just play, that moment for me was at Donna Wood's dance studio here in my hometown. I think I was maybe 3 or 4 when I first started, and this is where I uncovered the sheer bliss of tap dancing, and I tap danced my way through my younger years of my childhood. So in those carefree days of childhood, dance was my language, and it spoke volumes where even words fell short. It was a time when fear took a back seat to everything else, and laughter was my constant companion. Freedom became my wildest dance partner. I was fearless, I was fun, and I was free. As I got a little bit older, I began to perform in competitions alongside some of my very best friends. And I remember that very well to this day. We had a fly costume, we had a little hula cutie costume, And I didn't care what I looked like in that little costume. I was, you know, just a little kid, and I didn't worry about what I looked like or if I made mistakes. And I'm sure I was probably a little bit nervous even at that age when we performed, but I don't remember that being scared to get out on stage. We just had fun, and my friends were there with me, and we just had a blast. So learning to perform eventually proved to be a transformative journey for me. I remember as I stood backstage, surrounded by the sound of tap shoes as I got a little bit older, my tap shoes clattered against the wooden floor, and at that point, my heart did start to flutter with nerves. But there was something magical about once that spotlight hit the stage and I heard the applause from the audience, my anxiety eventually melted away, and I just kind of melted into the songs and the routines that we did. The encouraging smiles of my instructors and the uplifting cheers of my fellow dancers filled me with confidence. And as the music started, I tapped my way across the stage, feeling the rhythm in my bones. Surrounded by the familiar faces of my friends and the unwavering support of my loved ones, I danced with pure joy, losing myself in the music and the freedom of self-expression. And I enjoyed that for years and years and years. And to be honest, I can't pinpoint exactly when I abandoned dance and eventually swapped my tap shoes for piano keys. But my innocent little idealistic life began to unravel somewhere around the age of 6, and that's when I started taking piano lessons instead. So music for me has always been magic. It's been a sanctuary that enveloped me in a cocoon of safety and offered solace to my weary soul during every hardship I've ever faced as I navigated, you know, our normal turbulent waters of growing up and trying to figure out who you are at that age and learning self-identity and things like that. But most especially when trauma took root and threatened to darken my soul. I remember in Mr. Smith's 9th grade class at Moon Valley High School in Phoenix, Arizona, where we lived. My passion for creative writing bloomed, and it ignited a fire that has burned within me ever since. So then, at that age, rather than seeking solace through tapping out rhythms on the wooden floors in Donna Wood's dance studio or singing my heart out as I played the piano for hours on end, I began to delve into a world of daydreams and started to craft characters in poetry and prose. And I did this to outrun the shadows of past traumas. Little did I know, some of the most difficult years were still ahead. So throughout my life, dance, songwriting, and the catharsis of creative expression through writing have transformed my pain into a weapon of survival. Writing has become my sanctuary and the place where I can untangle those emotions and unleash them, avoiding that suffocating grip of fear that held me captive in solitude. Not only while surviving all the emotions and fears that come with my parents' divorce when I was little, but as I found myself facing the end of my own first marriage, and I struggled with a way to find basically the ability to breathe in the aftermath of everything that happened. You don't always plan ahead for those pitfalls and things that happen unexpectedly. And just to say that my marriage ended was enough of a traumatic experience because I never thought that that would happen. But in the aftermath of everything else that followed after that, I mean, I can't say that I always kept music close and writing close during that time because there was a period of time when I shut down. So let's talk about weathering the storm and the strategies for coping with the emotional fallout of divorce. So that next section I wanted to talk about was I am divorce. So let's start with when my parents divorced. In the alphabet of trauma, the letter D for divorce stands out prominently in my story. And that shift of my parents' initial separation shook the foundation of my little six-year-old world. It wasn't like I've said before on the podcast, it wasn't like I heard my parents fight all the time or anything like that. I specifically remember the day that they sat me down in, it was our little den with our black leather Lazy Boy recliners. I can still smell the room. I can still see the room on South First Street. And they told me that they were getting a divorce. So that once familiar landscape of how I thought my family would look like became fractured at that point, and it left me to navigate a new reality filled with uncertainty and emotional upheaval. As my parents parted ways, I found myself eventually caught in the crossfire of their emotions. And the feeling of being torn between those two worlds, or of being alienated from one parent, became a heavy burden to bear. And it's one that I still struggle to cope with at sometimes without being angry. That sense of profound loss and disconnection lingered over the years for me, and it shaped my perception of relationships and trust. Pictures of my dad, my grandparents, were destroyed in anger, and those memories of my life would have been gone forever had my grandma not secretly pulled them from a pile of rubbish tossed out for the garbage man to pick up. And I didn't find out until I was an adult that she saved those for me so that I could have those someday. And it made all the difference because I felt like I lost a piece of my childhood by that happening. And of course, eventually, I mean, every six-year-old, however old you are when your parents get divorced, of course it's going to shake you. But eventually, and both of our parents remarried. So then you add on another layer, an introduction of stepchildren and the dynamics of a blended family that added a new layer of complexity to that experience. And that happens with the majority of us. Navigating those relationships required patience, understanding, and a willingness to embrace change. And none of us got it all right. Nobody ever does. But we did the best we could. But during those times when I felt alienated from not being able to be a part of one of my parents' life, not by my choosing, I often felt isolated and alone and tried to figure out where exactly I best fit in my life. And I'm sure many of you have experienced these same emotions, either in childhood or as an adult facing your own challenges in the aftermath of divorce. And unfortunately, most times children often find themselves caught in the crossfire of conflict between two parents. Feelings of alienation and confusion can cloud their sense of self, leaving them struggling to navigate their own identities amidst the turmoil. And it happens sometimes no matter how hard we try to avoid it. So, moving on, I was determined more than ever to get married, to have kids, and to never get divorced because I didn't want that to happen to my kids. So my own divorce became my catalyst for change. So the decision to end my own marriage at the age of 30 was a very pivotal moment in my life. And it marked a definitive break in the pattern of trauma that had woven its way through my existence. Now that separation brought with it feelings of loss. Even the decision, just before that ever even happened, the decision to make that the end of my marriage brought with it feelings of loss and alienation and uncertainty. So I felt like I was repeating this pattern all over again, but this time I was causing it. But there was something inside me too that said, if you get out of this controlling, manipulative relationship that you're in, there's also the promise of liberation and possibly self-discovery later down the road. And God, did I try to make it work, but I never, ever, ever wanted my kids to go through the things I did. So I would have done anything to protect them from that pain. But throughout the process, sometimes through divorce, you learn who you were really married to. And my ex had different plans. Though I tried to maneuver around his narcissism and hope that we could co-parent and find maybe a happy medium and enough common ground to make it work, he was hell-bent on making me pay no matter what, presumably for the rest of my life on earth, and honestly, he still is. So my whole world shattered that day when he lied to the judge and told them that I had abandoned my kids and hadn't seen me in months. All the while, I was literally sitting in the car downstairs in the parking lot waiting for him to simply sign a copy of the amicable divorce papers that I had drafted to save us both money. The same ones that we had met the night before and agreed would work best for all of us. So shortly after, the judge asked for no proof that I had abandoned them, didn't ask where I was or how to contact me. He signed primary custody over to my ex-husband, and he quickly packed everything they owned, crossed the state line, and started a new life, taking my kids and honestly my heart with them. And I was devastated. And again, those feelings of alienation, being alienated and ripped apart from my babies, left me isolated and depressed. And there were many, many days and months there that I questioned my worth, not only as a parent, but as a person. And I just wondered if it was worth leaving, if maybe I should have stayed and put up with everything that I put up with in order to protect the kids. And of course, you know, the stories were told, well, she abandoned her kids, so I had to do this. I had to take them. I had to protect them because they were alone, which obviously was not true. But when you go through something like this and papers are signed like that, sure, there was many people that were willing to take on my case and said, this is not fair. We'll get your kids back. But here's a retainer that we need for $25,000 to start this brutal custody battle, which we obviously did not have. I had stayed home. That's the way he wanted it. I stayed home and I watched the kids and they were my whole life. I was a stay-at-home mom, and so I didn't have any income and no resources to even begin to fight him. So I faced many of those first days and months falling into a deep, dark tunnel of depression with no end in sight. And the grief I experienced during that time is inexplicable. It was all-encompassing, and I felt like I was suffocating without them. So when that pain became unbearable, the idea of just ending it all crossed my mind more times than I would like to admit. Now, life has a funny way of bringing you exactly what you need when you don't even know that you need it. So my rock and my husband that I've been married to now for almost 25 years has literally saved my life multiple times. But he continuously pulled me back up out of that deep despair and reminded me that there was always hope and that I was never alone. And that someday this nightmare would be behind us and we would be a family again, whether we could see it or not. So after years of prayer and navigating the challenges of living so far away from them, we would drive 6.5 hours to go see them probably 6-7 times a year just to be able to see them and bring them back with us. And I quickly learned it wasn't about keeping them away from me. It was just making me pay so that because I left. And like I said, after years of praying and going back and forth and just our whole lives torn apart, I started to confront my fears and insecurities, and I started shedding those layers of those hurts and allowing myself to envision a new beginning. And because God is good and he answers prayer, not always in the ways or the time frame that we would expect, that nightmare eventually was over. And our little family was reunited once again. And even after we got them back, I think it took me years to feel like I was myself again for a while. Like I was always waiting for the other shoe to drop, like something else was going to happen. And now that I'm a midlife menopausal empty nester all at once, I find myself searching for that woman I was once again and wondering when I lost her and desperately trying to get her back. I don't know what that looks like in the future, but at this moment in my life, this is the season that I sometimes struggle to work my way through. And I can tell you that forgiveness and self-discovery are going to be the catalyst for that change. I know it will be. As hard as it is to admit, that is what's going to get me back on track of finding myself again. So as I embrace the unknown, I am on a personal journey of self-discovery, and I often find myself asking the question, who the heck am I now? I have no idea sometimes. I'm not just a mom anymore. I'm not just a grandma anymore. I'm not just a wife anymore or an employee. So before I get into more of the self-discovery part, I want to talk and touch on a little bit more of the topic of forgiveness. One of the most powerful acts of discovering who I am again is the journey towards forgiveness. And for me, it's also been a transformative process that is constantly evolving. And each time I let those things go and I find a way to start working on that forgiveness, as hard as it is, it liberates my spirit from the shackles of bitterness and resentment and anger and animosity that I've kept bottled up over the years. And one of the things you have to remember is that of course, there's some of you out there that are going to say, but they don't deserve it. It doesn't matter whether they deserve it or not. Forgiveness is not about condoning the actions of others, but rather it is a conscious choice to release the burden of carrying that pain inside, because forgiving others means that we free ourselves from the chains of the past and we open our hearts to the possibility of love again. And for me, it's been a journey of learning to love others again, but most importantly, learning to find and love myself again. So embracing that journey of self-discovery and transformation it's kind of akin to embarking on an adventure. And often those adventures are full of twists and turns and challenges, but they're also full of triumphs. And throughout this quest, we frequently find this question again, asking, who am I now? This contemplation prompts us to venture deep within ourselves and to unearth the core of our being, to redefine our identity in a world that is ever evolving. And I think for me, that starts with letting the past go. So the first step on this quest of rediscovering myself has been learning to let that pain go and forgive, like I said. And that's one of the most difficult parts. I've learned that through a lot of digging, we're talking about this whole unraveling of the past and unraveling and untangling these threads of trauma. I've learned that those past memories of pain and heartache and disappointment, they don't define who I am today. So as I navigate that terrain of self-discovery, I have to learn to release the grip I've had on those traumas and wounds. And sometimes if you don't know what else to hold on to, you hold on to the past. I don't know where I'm going in the future, and I'm afraid to reach out and grab that rope and hold on. So I hold on for dear life to the things that are comfortable, even if they're painful. So letting go of that pain of the past, letting go of that rope and those chains of the past is a courageous act, and it's an act of self-love. And it will pave the way for healing and growth and renewal. So by acknowledging our past hurts and embracing that forgiveness, we can break free from the chains that bind us and move forward with grace and resilience. Now, a lot of that revolves around breaking generational trauma. It doesn't just start with us. It never started with us. It starts with our parents and their parents and their parents and their parents. And through the process of forgiving those that have wronged us, we unravel the layers of our identity and we uncover the legacy of generational trauma often that's been passed down through the ages. So recognizing the patterns of dysfunction and pain that have shaped our lives is also the first step in breaking that cycle. By becoming a catalyst for change, we can create a new narrative of healing and empowerment for ourselves and future generations. And I know for me, it was always about, even through my divorce and everything I went through, I tried to be the bigger person. I tried to not continue the hurt, even though my heart was broken and I was devastated. I tried not to let my kids see that side and the anger that I felt towards him for doing the things he did, because I don't want to continue that. Your kids don't want to hear that. They don't want to hear how awful your ex is, or, you know, it's not necessary. And with a fierce determination to break that cycle of suffering, I stood firm in paving the way of for a legacy of resilience, strength, and love. And that also had to start with showing forgiveness, even when I didn't feel like it, even when I didn't want to, and even when they didn't deserve it. So that person that I was before, there was obviously a part of me that shut down completely while I was going through my divorce. And there's a whole lot of other things that have happened that I will bring up in some of these other episodes, trauma experiences that I've been through that tend to shut you down. So how do we get out of that pattern? What do we need to do? For me, it's learning to let go of fear and learning to dream again. So for those who have weathered the storm of life's challenges and are rekindling the flame of dreams and aspirations, it can be a daunting task. It can be difficult to look ahead and find the light, to even find one step to move forward. However, like a phoenix rising from the ashes, We all have the power within us to reignite that passion and embrace the joy of daydreaming and dreaming our dreams once again. Boy, that was a mouthful. Dreaming our dreams. By nurturing our inner dreamer, we can tap into a wellspring of creativity, inspiration, and hope that propels us towards a brighter future and will become that catalyst for change. Also, by allowing ourselves to dream again, we open the door to new possibilities and adventures that can lead us to a more joyful and enriching life. And don't we all want that? I think that's what I'm missing the most. Even when I'm being creative, even when I'm working my way through trauma and I'm healing, I'm missing that joy. And I find it in little bits and pieces and sparks and glimmers of hope. But I used to be a pretty joyful, happy-go-lucky, positive person. And that's what I miss the most. I miss that joy. So let's talk about a liberation of our souls now while we're healing. Like I said before, generational trauma is a burden that can be passed down through families, affecting each generation in different ways. But we have that power to break this cycle and become a beacon of change and healing. So what we need to do is recognize and acknowledge those patterns of trauma within our family history, and then work towards breaking that cycle where we create a new legacy of resilience and self-love and growth. And believe me, it takes determination and courage and a strong sense of self-awareness and connection with yourself to break free from those traumas. But the rewards of liberation and empowerment are immeasurable. And forgiveness is not just about letting go of past hurts or grievances. It's a powerful catalyst for personal transformation. Like I said, you're not doing it for them, you're doing it for yourself. So when we choose to forgive, we release ourselves from the burden we've been carrying of that resentment and that anger, and it paves the way for our healing and our growth. And it's not easy, I know that, and some days I want to pick up that cross again and carry it on my back, and I want to be mad and angry all over again. But forgiveness is necessary for our own peace of mind and well-being. And the pain in the past can weigh heavily on our hearts and minds, inhibiting our ability to move forward with clarity and purpose. And it's blocked me for years. It's kept me stuck where I am. So by consciously choosing every single day to let go of that pain, we free ourselves from the shackles of the past and open ourselves up to new beginnings of opportunities and growth. And it's a transformative act of self-love and self-compassion when we do this. So along that path of healing and self-discovery, I stumbled, I faltered, I made mistakes. And all of that threatened to derail any progress that I had ever made. Yet one of the things I'm learning now is that with each of those missteps and mistakes, I learned valuable life lessons about resilience and perseverance. And I'm learning to recognize that mistakes are not failures, but rather stepping stones towards growth. It might take, you know, a few steps back before you leap forward, but through trial and error, I'm discovering that strength and courage to confront my past traumas head on are paving the way for that brighter and more authentic future. So as we journey through the layers of trauma and we separate ourselves from the past, we rediscover who we're meant to become. And we can learn to embrace the complexities of our past experiences and use them as catalysts for transformation. So this year, I feel like I've been daydreaming even more about the things that I want for my life. And I feel like it's almost like a third phase of my life. And honestly, I'm tired of waiting for things to magically happen. I know I'm going to have to put in the work. I'm determined to make it through this next stage, not unscathed necessarily, but with scars and battle wounds to prove how hard I fought to survive. Now, I don't know about you guys. I know I'm a girl, but I love video games. So if you want to use that analogy, I feel like I've been battling this last stage of a video game and I'm losing lives and I'm on my last life. And if I can just reach past that point and slay the dragon, I'm about to level up. So I am opening myself up this year to becoming a dreamer once again and reconnecting with the real me and finding myself again. And I'm looking for the me who is not only revisiting those experiences that allowed me to dance as a child without fear, but I'm reconnecting with that inner child and embracing the freedom of self-expression and creativity once again. So why not put on your favorite music and dance like no one's watching and rediscover the joy of truly being yourself, just as you did when you were a child? Embrace that inner child and let your spirit soar on the dance floor of life. Like a daydreamer awakening to a new reality, I am embracing the role of the dreamer, and I am determined to be a seeker of light amidst all of this darkness. Mistakes have become my lessons. Scars have turned into symbols of survival. And the journey towards healing is unfolding before me, one lesson, one day, and one chapter at a time. So in conclusion, trauma may have shaped my past, but it does not define my future. And I'm learning to dance again. I am beyond the brutal aspects of divorce, whether in childhood or my own. And I'm searching for that woman I want to become, finding myself along the way through determination, dreaming, and self-discovery. And this journey of unraveling the past, I found that path that leads me towards a brighter, more hopeful tomorrow. I just need to remember to stay on that path and stay the course and do the work that it takes to get there. So I invite you to join me on this journey of breaking the chains of trauma. Let's embrace discovery as a tool for healing, allowing our dreams and determination to flourish while acknowledging the scars that shaped us. Together, we can carve out a path to freedom and healing, reclaiming those voices and rewriting our stories one chapter at a time, where forgiveness, dreams, determination, and discovery abound. So I hope you'll continue to join me for this brand new series about unraveling the past from A to Z, exploring the layers of trauma, and uncovering a path towards healing. I hope this episode has motivated you as much as it has me to want to unravel those layers so that eventually we can learn to thrive and not just merely survive as we've done in the past. And most of all, I hope you know that you are loved, you are worthy, and you are enough no matter where you are in this healing journey. Together, we can and will heal as we learn to let the past go and welcome in this new chapter, turning pages of transformation, healing, and change. I can't wait to see where this new road takes us as we embrace this new year and make it everything we need it to be. I'm looking forward to seeing where this road takes all of us as we heal. Thanks for being here, and thanks for making a difference in my life. I wouldn't be where I am without all of you. Hang in there and know that you are loved from the here to the universe and back. Until next time, I am unconditionally yours. All my love, Sadie.